Welcome to the Ask Peggy About Your Money podcast. I'm your host, Peggy Doviak, and I'm a certified financial planner practitioner and a personal finance author. This is a podcast to help you understand your money better. I'll address a question about money every week. You'll have the opportunity to send me questions, and I'll base other questions after things I've been asked in nearly 19 years as a financial planner. The podcast is divided into three sections. In the first, I'll introduce the topic, then I'll give you more detailed information about it, and then finally in the third section, I'll give you ways you can implement strategies so you can make the information go to work for you today. Let's get started. One of the most common questions I'm asked is, Peggy, how do I know how much to save for retirement? That's a great question. There's an initial step that people often omit that's critical to being successful. This first step forms the basis of much of your financial plan, as you need to know the information to know how much emergency fund to save, and you need to know the information to know how much insurance to buy. So today, we're going to talk about some magic data that will help you calculate your emergency fund, your insurance need, and your retirement need. And here's the good news. You can figure this out without anybody's help just by listening to this podcast. So stay tuned. Like what you hear? Check out my website, askpeggy.com. That's askpeggy.com. You can read my blog, find where I'm appearing, and keep up with my books. Almost every time I have a new client in my office, I ask them to complete a specific task. You should know that I've also completed this task. I had to do it before I went full-time in my financial firm. And today, I'm going to ask you to complete the same task. This task is going to be the basis of how much you need to save for your emergency fund, how much you need for life insurance, and how much you need to save for your retirement. So it's really important. What is it? You need to track your spending. Now, you know how much your rent is or how much your mortgage is. You know how much your car payments are. Maybe you know how much your utility bills and your cell phone and all of those big things that everybody thinks about as being their expenses. However, we spend a lot more money than that. And what I want you to do is for 30 days, I want you and everyone in your household to write down every single dime that you spend. Whether that's paying the car payment or going through your favorite fast food drive-through window, you need to know how much money you're spending. I don't care what format you write your expenses down in, you just need to know what they are. Then we're going to separate them between non-discretionary bills and discretionary purchases. Non-discretionary bills are those bills you have to pay to keep the lights on, to keep your house, to keep your car. So they're all the big bills that you're thinking of. Those are things that have to be paid month in, month out, and you really don't have any control of them without making a major lifestyle change. Discretionary spending is everything else. And at the end of the month, I will expect that you are surprised at how much money you actually spend. I was horrified. I ate out entirely too much with my husband, and I had to make some adjustments. Now, I was tracking my spending to make sure that when I quit my old job that paid me a salary every month, and I want to work in my financial firm that was still getting off the ground, we could live on my husband's salary. So if you're looking at a major lifestyle change, that's yet another reason to do this. But If you're just trying to figure out how much you need for your emergency fund, you want to look at those non-discretionary expenses. Now, where it gets complicated is if you go to a big store where they sell not only all of your groceries, but there's large sections of the store that sell items that are just fun to own. You'll need to break your bill in half. Split it out from the grocery side to the clothing side. The clothing side you didn't really have to have, the grocery side you do. You need to figure out how much money you need to have every month to survive. You can't just wipe out all the eating out without replacing it with more of a grocery budget, so don't make that mistake. If you've got a pet, you've got to include the pet food. So your non-discretionary expenses are often a little bit higher than people think they are. Then that number becomes the basis of how you create your emergency fund. You take those non-discretionary bills and you start saving multiples of that. I've got some good tricks on that that I'll share with you in a different podcast. When you're using this data for life insurance, what you're trying to figure out is how much money does the person who survived you need to live? And the only way to start creating that is by looking at how much you're spending right now. And I would not just limit it to non-discretionary spending, because when someone dies, when a spouse dies, the remaining spouse is really going to struggle for a while. And you don't want them having to go buying 5 pounds of potatoes and cooking them. They may want to go through the drive-through. So you want to give them the ability to do that. As you're trying to figure out how much life insurance you need, you're probably going to want to include some of the discretionary bills in that. We'll do a talk on how to calculate how much life insurance you need in a different podcast episode as well. And now finally, we come to retirement spending. I am very uncomfortable with round, easy calculations on how much you need to spend. Some people will say, well, save 80% of how much you're spending today. Well, one, you can only do that if you know how much you're spending today. And I would encourage you to spend more time in this process than just something you read in an article. Because what happens when people retire is, yes, some bills fall off. Maybe your mortgage is paid off. You will, however, not go 30 years driving the same vehicle. So it's not safe to subtract the car payment with the idea that you don't have to have that again. In retirement, you may want to do some traveling. You'll want to include money that allows you to do that. You'll have to buy gifts for people. You'll want to be able to pay bills. You may have more medical costs. You may very easily spend as much in retirement as you're spending during your working career. But the only way you can begin to work into that retirement number is by knowing how much money you're spending right now. And then there's a whole retirement calculation. We'll also talk about at a future date. But the key to everything is having an honest understanding of how much you're spending. This is not a budget. This is simply a cash flow analysis. This is all the money that goes out every month. So when you're trying to figure out where to start, this is a great way to do it. I will expect at the end of the 30 days that you'll say, I don't spend that much. This was an abnormal month. I never spend this much money. Okay, do it for another 30 days. See how that goes. You are likely to find that the second 30 days looks a whole lot like the first 30 days, but I am not going to be judgmental. If you want to do this exercise for more than 1 month, you should. This is also not an opportunity to beat up people in your house about how much money they're spending, okay? We're just trying to get a grasp of things here. We can deal with all of this data in other kinds of activities. But right now, we really need to know how much you're spending to be able to create the framework where everything else can be created. Again, don't forget vacations, don't forget holidays, don't forget gifts. Kind of run through the year. If you decide to do this in August, but you always take your family vacation in July, you're going to need to do some modifications so that you have some of those vacation costs added in because you know it's coming. So, we're going to talk about some real specific strategies in the next section, and I want you to stay tuned. I think you'll find it helpful. Want to learn more? Check out my personal finance books. 52 Weeks to Prosperity, about to be in second edition, and coming summer of 2022, 52 Weeks to Well-Being. They're available at major chain bookstores, online, or your favorite independent. I know the idea of writing down everything you're spending can be overwhelming. First, it's a little scary because sometimes we really don't want to know how much we're spending. However, if you'll go ahead and get the information, then you'll know where you are, and that's powerful all by itself. Like I said in the last section, I don't care how you save the data. If you like to save things on a computer, that's great. If you'd rather write it with a notebook and a pen, that's fine as well. If you're bad about saving receipts, like I am, take a picture of the receipt with your phone, and that way you'll have the data when you sit down at the place where you actually consolidate your information. Otherwise, the receipt might just go in the back seat and you'd forget to do it. Now, if you're already buying things on a credit card, some of this data will automatically be saving. You still are going to have to take it at the end of the month and break it between discretionary and non-discretionary. And if you're at one of those major stores where some of what you're buying you needed and some of what you're buying you just wanted, you might want to divide that at the time you made the purchase because if you look back at the credit card bill 25 days later, you may not remember exactly what you bought that day. So it's quite a bit of work. It isn't anything that you can't do yourself. Remember, everyone in the household needs to participate. Make it a game. This is you versus your money, and you're going to be able to understand your money and get on top of your money and not be overwhelmed by your money. If you take these steps, all of this data we're going to use later in other podcasts. If you don't think the first 30 days was accurate, do it again. If you need to do it again, do it another month after that. But you will figure out how much you're spending. And then that can become the building blocks for much of the rest of your financial plan. Thanks for listening. Remember to tune in each week for a new episode and give us a like and a follow. You also might want to like my social media that you can find on the Ask Peggy website. The information in these podcasts is educational, not investment advice, and it's very important that you talk to your own certified financial planner practitioner to make sure that everything that you're hearing is actually going to be in your best interests. Until later, stay prosperous.